Acts chapter 28, and once you get your hands free, I'd invite you to join me as we make our confession together going into the message. I kind of feel like I don't want to say going into the Word because we've been in the Word all morning, but thank God for this opportunity as well. I appreciate your heart to be here. You don't have to be here, but you're here and you're ready to worship and pray and seek the Lord, receive from the Lord. Those of you maybe can't physically be here or you're out of our area and join us online, I appreciate you as well. So would you join me as we make this confession together? Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free, free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert, my heart is open, my spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me read you just a couple of verses here before we read that in Acts. The Bible says this in the book of Revelation, again, if you want to write it down, Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15, one verse says, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ or his Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever. At this point, this is where, notice, the kingdoms or kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever. Do you remember in what we call the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said this? We're to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the title of the message this morning actually just came from Jesus' words that he gave there in Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your kingdom come. Would you say that with me? Your kingdom come. This is what we read about there in Revelation is that moment when we do have the arrival of God's kingdom here to this earth. The last two Sundays, I've shared messages on the Lord's second coming. Today, I want to share the third and final message on the Lord's return. And as I've said before in the first two, I'll say it again. We do not know all the details of the Lord's second coming. And it's no sense speculating, really, on things we do not know. Because that, I believe it can cause unnecessary confusion. And people just say, well, I don't have anything to do with that. No, we need to be involved. We need to know about the Lord's return. What God did reveal in his word is he told us how to be ready. Always. Always ready. Always productive and fruitful. And he did give us signs that we can look for that let us know we're getting closer to the time of the Lord's return. Jesus said it would be like a woman who is getting near the birth of her child. As she approaches the birth of her son or daughter, the labor pains will increase in frequency and intensity. Some of those signs like earthquakes or pestilences. You say, well, we've had those forever. I know, but they're going to increase because the whole earth is going to be like convulsing, just waiting for that deliverance to come when Jesus returns. And then there will be that joy for those who are ready to meet him. So the Lord wants us to be ready. Last two messages, I kind of summarized on our website. Let me just give you that real quick. It's clmfamily.org, the initials of the church and the word family, clmfamily.org, if you'd like to look at that and just have a little quick review. Because I did share last week that we focused on the resurrections and the judgments. Resurrections of believers, resurrection of unbelievers, judgment believers, unbelievers. And today I'll just focus in closing with your kingdom come and then the new creation. So just to, before I read this verse in Acts, let me give you one more from Mark chapter 1. Because the kingdom of God is a phrase that we hear many times in our churches, like, we're going to give to support the kingdom of God. and we're serving in the kingdom of God. And they're all appropriate and scriptural phrases. But what is the kingdom of God? That's one of the phrases I believe we can look at and say, I'm not sure exactly what it means. So here's just a real simple definition, okay, ready? God's kingdom means God's sovereign rule. God's kingdom means God's sovereign rule. I think of the word kingdom, and I kind of break it up, king and domain, or king and dominion. And that helps me to remember. It's God's sovereign rule. Sovereign does not mean, I don't believe, that everything that happens in this life and everything that happens on earth is God's will. I believe it means he is the highest authority. He has all power, and his word and his will ultimately be accomplished. That's what it means, that he is sovereign. He is the all-powerful one. He is the all-knowing one, and he is the ultimate ruler. He is the highest authority. If God's will was automatically done, then why would Jesus say right after he said to pray it this way, your kingdom come, your will be done where? On earth as it is. Now, his will is done in heaven, but if we want to see God's kingdom come, that means we want to see God's will done here on earth in us and through us, because we want his kingdom to come. The kingdom of God is the message Jesus preached. Again, if you want to write this reference down, Mark chapter 1, verse 14 says, now after John, talking about John the Baptist, was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching, notice, the gospel or the good news of the kingdom of God. And he says in verse 15, saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. That's because the king was at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent or turn and believe in the good news. The kingdom of God is not only the message Jesus preached, it is the message the apostles preached. Acts chapter 28, after Jesus returned back to heaven, sent his Holy Spirit, all the years that have gone on, that first generation of the church, and this is how the book of Acts ends. Acts 28, verses 30 and 31. It says, Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him. Notice, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. So again, since we're to pray for the kingdom of God, what is it? It's God's ultimate rule and God's sovereign rule over the earth. When God created Adam and Eve, he gave them dominion over this world. When they broke God's commandments, it broke their relationship with God, and they forfeited the governance and the dominion of this world system to Satan. Now, I did not say the earth was Satan's, because the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But there is a world system that doesn't want to submit to God, a religious world system even, but it is not promoting the righteousness of God. That's what I'm talking about, a world system that Satan is over. And that's why even in the New Testament, he's called the ruler of this world, of this age. If you want to write this verse down, let me read it to you. It's 1 John 5:19. 1 John 5:19. Because when God, this is how, when God gave Adam and Eve the dominion over the earth, remember what he told them? Be fruitful and multiply. They were under God's authority, that's the key. Under God's authority, they were to govern the world in a way of blessing and fruitfulness. And so they lost that. So when we pray, your kingdom come, we want to see God restore what was lost by Adam and Eve. That's what Scripture says this, 1 John 5:19. He says, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway or the influence of the wicked one. Brothers and sisters, that is why we are in the condition we are in, separation from God. So do you want God's kingdom restored? Do you want the fruitfulness and the blessing of mankind under God's authority, being blessed and governing as he wants? That's what we pray for when we say, your kingdom come, for your will to be done. Just quickly this morning, I want to give you 2 aspects of God's kingdom, if you want to write them down. Kingdom present and kingdom future. Kingdom present and kingdom future. You got it. Let me read you these words from Jesus in John chapter 9. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Many of you are familiar with these verses, John chapter 3 and verse 3, but they really fit here. Your kingdom come. Would you say that with me? Your kingdom come. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus was thinking in the natural. All throughout John, you find that kind of interaction. People thinking natural, Jesus talking spiritual and supernatural. So here's this wise man. He said, how can I be born again when I'm old? I gotta go. I can't get back into my mother's womb and be born. And Jesus says in verse 5, no, you're thinking natural. He says, Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, notice he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Then he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Just as we have a physical birth, we need a spiritual birth. And we can only be born again by the drawing and power of God's Holy Spirit. I always want to emphasize that. It's not just up to me to say, well, I'm going to let Jesus save me right before I die, and then I'll go to heaven. We don't know what condition we'll be in before we leave this earth. And we could harden our heart to the point where we wouldn't even sense his drawing in that still, small voice drawing us to salvation and drawing us to mercy and forgiveness and eternal life. And so the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, and he draws us to that point where we believe that Jesus really is the Son of God. He's the sinless, eternal, crucified, and risen Lord of all. And when he births us supernaturally into the kingdom and family of God, the Holy Spirit transfers us from the kingdoms of this perishing world system into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. Anybody been transferred? Transferred into the kingdom of God. Then we come under the loving lordship. It's not a harsh tyrant like Satan. He's a loving king and a loving Lord who loved us so much that he willingly suffered our judgment on the cross when he died to pay for our sins. But he defeated sin, he defeated Satan, and he defeated death, and he is the only one who can make us righteous before God. Amen. Let me read you this scripture too. It's found in Romans 14, 17. I know I'm giving you some verses here, but I want you to have it so you know. Romans 14, 17. Let me read it to you. The Bible says this. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Y'all remember that chorus some years back? Joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Come on, Michelle. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Come on. Come on, everybody. Amen. Righteousness, peace, and joy. See, when we know we're right with God, we have peace with God. And since we're at peace with God, if we really have fellowship with him, it gives us joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's not something the devil can give. It's not something the world can give. It's not something we conjure up in ourselves. It is God-birthed, God-given, and God-sustained. Your kingdom come. So when we pray, your kingdom come, we're wanting him. Would you turn to Acts chapter 1, if you're still there in Acts 28, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, Jesus has come back to life from the dead. He spent 40 days here on earth with his disciples, teaching the kingdom of God, continuing to work and move among them. And he's getting ready to ascend back to heaven, and he meets them there on the Mount of Olives. And we read these words right before he ascends. Because the disciples wanted to know, they ask him in Acts 1:6, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? See, the disciples were looking for more of a political kingdom like Israel enjoyed under King David's reign. That's what they were looking for. But Jesus, notice how he answers them in verse 7. And he, Jesus, said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Don't try to figure out the exact date and time. Don't let that be your focus or bother. Here's what I want you to focus on. Verse 8. But you shall receive power or dunamis. The word means ability. But you shall receive power or ability when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, that's cross-cultural, and to the ends of the earth, because they believed the word of Jesus and they did what he told them to do. We are sitting here on the other side of the planet 2,000 years later because the kingdom is growing. It's not coming just in a political fashion yet. The Lord will return. We'll get to that in a moment. But right now, the kingdom reign of God is coming to this earth one heart and one life at a time as we come to submit ourselves to him. And we need, would you say, I need the power of the Holy Spirit to be the witness of Jesus and to extend his kingdom. Amen. That's why we need the presence and power of God's Holy Spirit. We can't do this on our own, but we don't have to. We've been equipped. If we just receive, say, Lord, I've gotten to where I just pray it about every day. I say, Lord, I need your help. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your power. Fill me with your love. Help me. Help me to faithfully represent you. We need the power of God's Spirit to promote the kingdom of God to this generation in every area of life. It's not just I'm a Christian at church and then I live my life kind of not thinking about God. No, I'm a Christian everywhere. That's what it means to be his witness. It's not just what I do. It's who I am. It's who we are if we know the Lord. So we want to have a kingdom influence for the Lord in our homes. We want to have a kingdom influence for the Lord by giving our best at our jobs, in the classroom. We need the kingdom of God's influence in law and government and the entertainment industry. And if Christians just take a hands-off approach and never live their faith out in public, it's not forcing anything down someone's throat. But I know this, someone's authority is being exercised and someone's message is being promoted. So if we want a godly message, and if we want to see God's kingdom grow, then that's up to us. So it's not just a prayer, your kingdom come, is Lord, help me to extend your kingdom. So there is the kingdom present, and then we'll close with the kingdom future. Kingdom present and kingdom future. If you're right there in Acts, would you just go back to Luke 19 and hold your spot there a moment, please. Luke 19, your kingdom come. Not my kingdom, not this one, that one, your kingdom. We need the Lord to reign. We need his sovereign rule in our lives and in our hearts, our nation, our families. When Christ returns, because there is a day that he is coming back physically and visibly to this earth, and Christ will reign for 1,000 years from the city of Jerusalem. And during that time, I'll read you a couple of verses here in a moment. But when he returns, he's going to put down all rebellion, and he's going to establish righteousness. The Prince of Peace will bring peace to the world. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 2, I've seen it up in New York City. It's on one of the buildings there. It says, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. But the first part of that verse says he's going to come and judge with righteousness and establish righteousness. And as he does that, then all the, and rightly so, we need to be wise about protecting ourselves. But can you just imagine when all the funds that are being put into military expense today are being put into agriculture? And we won't have starving children over in this part of the world, or hungry here and there, because it's going to be a blessing. It's going to be a fruitful, profitable time. Let me read you this before we look at that in Luke. It's found in Isaiah chapter 11. This is what it'll be like when Jesus comes and he fully establishes God's reign on earth like an inauguration. We read these words in Isaiah 11, verse 6. It says, the wolf shall also dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with a young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. Notice, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Young lions shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Isn't that something? See, we're going to see when Jesus returns, we're going to see the world governed as God originally intended before Adam and Eve sinned and forfeited it to Satan. Your kingdom come. So he goes on, he says this in verse 8. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in a viper's den. Now, I wouldn't recommend that right now. And I can tell you, the Lord's had to do some convincing for Kim when he's on, but of course he will. I'm talking about in that day when the kingdom fully comes. And then he goes on, he says in verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Amen. Amen. Your kingdom come, Lord. Lord, how we need you. Your kingdom come. So when he brings peace, and the Bible says that Satan's going to be bound during that time. We're not going to see evil running around unrestrained because the Bible says God will rule and reign with a rod of iron. You get out of line then, you won't get away with it. It's not going to be the corruption and the injustice and all of that. No, it'll be righteousness prevailing, and Jesus will be Lord of all. And here's the thing for us today. All those who know and serve the Lord now will reign with him during that 1,000 years as his administrators on earth. So get ready. But let me show you how. Luke chapter 19, if you're there, Luke chapter 19, verse 11. The Bible says this. Jesus is, well, he's getting ready to talk. Verse 11 says, now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable or story. This is Jesus. Because he was near Jerusalem, and notice, they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. But you see how they were looking for more of like a political kingdom? Again, there was a place for political influence, but that wasn't what they had in mind. Verse 12 says, therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants and delivered to them 10 minas. That was money, okay? And he said to them, do business till I come. Do business. The King James translation says occupy. So it's not just to kind of hide out, wait for Jesus to return. No, we're to be busy promoting his kingdom. So your kingdom come now and get ready for the future. So he says in verse 14, but his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we'll not have this man to reign over us. Some have that attitude. So it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants, remember we read in Revelation, he's going to receive a kingdom, to whom he had given the money. He called them to him that he might know how much every man had traded or gained by trading. Verse 16, then came the first saying, master, your mina has earned 10. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, notice, have authority over 10 cities. You see that? So faithfulness and wide stewardship right now is going to bless us potentially forever. It's going to open doors of opportunity and responsibility when the kingdom fully comes. And then he goes on, he says the same thing, basically verse 18. The second came saying, master, your mina has earned 5. Likewise, he said to him, you also reign over 5 cities. Because all of creation is going to be blessed, and how we live now matters. And faithfulness and good stewardship will be rewarded. Your kingdom come. Again, not just a prayer, but an obedient lifestyle. Lord, your kingdom come through me. I want to close with a couple verses in Revelation. If you turn there, last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 20. Years ago, just the topic of prophecy and like the second coming of Jesus really intrigued me. So I began to, man, I was picking up everything I could find, and I was reading commentaries and this and that. I was listening to everything I could. And my focus, here's where I began to focus on. Who's the Antichrist? What's the mark of the beast? 666. And they're important. Those are important because they're in Scripture. But I want to encourage you, please don't make the mistake I did. Because the last book of the Bible is literally called, in Revelation 1:3, the revelation of the revealing or the unveiling of Messiah Jesus. It's not the unveiling of the beast or the 666. They're mentioned, but some people even call Revelation the fifth gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Revelation. Because we get the complete view of him as the lion and the lamb that we sing about this morning. So your kingdom come. What is it going to be like? And how should we live right now? So I want to encourage you, please don't get distracted. You won't learn those things. But let's keep our focus on Jesus. And let's stay in close fellowship with him. So whenever that time comes, we will always be ready. Because one day we're going to stand before him, either by death or the return of the Lord. And we want to be ready when he comes and when we see him. So the Bible says this. Revelation chapter 20, because at the end of that 1,000-year reign, if you can believe it, there will be those who try to attack Jesus in the city of Jerusalem and overthrow him, to overthrow his government. And that shows that even in the blessing of God's kingdom on earth, their hearts had not been changed. And that's the issue. That's what Jesus, I believe, was trying to get them to see. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. They were looking for it on the outside. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. So when we receive the King as Lord, the kingdom of God enters us and we enter God's kingdom. So we read these words in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 9. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, that's Jerusalem, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. They will be consumed thinking that they could attack the Lord and overthrow him. And then that's going to give birth then to the new creation, where there's a new heaven and a new earth. Your kingdom come. Let me close with these verses. Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. The Bible says this. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. That's going to be different, isn't it? Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And I love these words. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. Can you just imagine? No more broken hearts. No more sickness, no more disease, no more funerals. Hey, amen. It says, no crying, no more pain. For the former things have passed away. And he who sat on the throne said, behold, I'll make all things new. And he said, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Thank God. If we know the Lord, we're going to be in that new creation. We're going to be in the kingdom of God on earth, but forever we'll be in the new creation. And the curse will have been abolished and no more sin and all of those things. We will enjoy the presence of the Lord forever. And we're going to have joy in our relationships. We're going to be able to use our God-given ingenuity to our full capacity. Could you think about that? All of the creative, think about the inventions and so forth we have now. Can you imagine when there's no restraint of sin and none of it is being used for evil and for ungodliness, all for good? And the fruitfulness that we're going to enjoy. And that is it's not going to be just sitting around twiddling our thumbs on a cloud. No, we're going to be productive and it's going to be a blessing and we're going to enjoy the Lord and enjoy one another and enjoy living as he designed us to live from the start. So when we pray for this, we're praying for your kingdom come. Your kingdom come, Lord. And I remember years ago, the last words of the Bible where John said, he saw it all. And he just said, even so, come. Yeah, Lord, come on. We want to get on with this. I've seen enough of this word. We've seen enough of how it's going now. Your kingdom come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And I can just tell you what was in my heart. The Lord, I just believe, impressed on me to not just say that, but the Lord said, all right, I'm going to come through you. And I want to use you to reach others. and I want you to extend my kingdom. And I want you to invite others in. And I want you to be available. That's what it means. Your kingdom come is a prayer, but it's also a call to an obedient lifestyle. And I'd like to ask you this morning, will you join me? Will you join me? This is our time. This is our generation. I know we can look at the world. Lord knows I get it. I think Brittany has grown. But I have a heart for the children. Part of me is like, man, I don't want them to have to go through this and live in a world like this, so much evil and all this going on and everything, the deception and rampant mess. But where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And God has raised up this generation for this generation. And we don't have to be scared. We can come to the Lord and we can pray and intercede and we can train and we can love. And God will use them to extend his kingdom just like he's been doing for thousands of years. So let's not live in fear. Let's live in faith and let's trust God. Don't we say your kingdom come, that he will use us and people are going to be reached because he is going to pour out his spirit on the last days. And I really believe even though evil is rising and getting darker, the light is going to shine brighter and brighter and a generation is going to welcome this Lord back to his earth that he rightfully owns and that's his. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Can we stand together as we close in prayer? Father, we do make that our prayer, your kingdom come. But Lord, let it not just be, I want to speak for myself now, not just words. I want to be available, and I'll confess it right now. I need your help. I need the power of your spirit to faithfully represent you. I need your spirit, Lord, to help me promote your kingdom. I don't want to promote myself. I want to promote you and your will.